Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Thursday once again, and I would like to start by saying that I am thankful that everything I've asked for is not manifested right when I asked for it. It took me a long time to get to that point of being thankful for there, but even though at times I'll find myself and I'll be frustrated, sometimes even angry that I was being made to wait, I can see in time, looking back, that it was really for my good, that I wasn't really ready for some of the things that I thought I was asking for. So I am thankful for things not manifesting before I was ready to actually receive them. And tonight I'm also thankful for second chances being presented for things that are important to me that just couldn't work out the first time. And but some things are just so important that they are worth going back and revisiting a second time. So I am thankful for those things tonight. We are continuing on with our Healthy Relationship series, and our guest is Derek Sanders. He describes himself as being a thinker first, and we certainly do want someone who is willing to delve beyond the surface and get to the deeper meaning of things. He is a writer, a public speaker, and a gifted musician. And his profound insights on relationships is exactly what we need to get this series going. So, Derek, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Thanks. So we start, you have to excuse me, my voice is doing some interesting things tonight. But we ended last week's show talking about relationships and money. And so I'll go ahead and give you the floor. We can pick up there, and you were bringing up some really interesting things. I know you were saying that you work in that.
Yes.
So
yes.
You can go ahead and enlighten our listeners.
Okay. Well, let me say this. I was thinking about it. Let me say this. What I'm not saying, I don't want it to sound like I'm suggesting that it's a good idea for a woman to be in a relationship with a man that has nothing going on. Because
mm-hmm.
we don't want
okay.
to be at either end of either extreme.
Exactly.
Because, we don't want to be at either extreme. I talked about last week, we kind of ended at the other extreme. But the other one is to be in a relationship with somebody who has nothing going on, which I've seen time and time again. I would never suggest that. And then the other side of it is, too, I mean, there have been times that I have been out of work. That's typically not the time that I'm approaching a woman trying to engage in a relationship
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the time to be trying to engage in a relationship. But so – we don't want to be at either extreme. But as money relates to relationships, of course that's important. It's supposed to be the number one cause of breakups in relationships or marriages is because of money, mismanagement and that kind of thing. I just had a conversation with someone earlier this week about a relationship where a man was doing very well. And he chose a woman that was also doing very well. But it was more like a business relationship than mm-hmm. a marital relationship where you got two people who were probably very career driven and oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably apparently came ahead of the relationship, which I think a lot of times ends up being the case when we start talking about money and we start talking about money in ways that's not healthy, that becomes a barrier instead of two people thinking about, because if you're talking about marriage like I do, going into to a relationship, I'm looking to get married. I'm not looking at hers and mine. I'm looking at that initially, when you go into the relationship, because you're looking at this person, you're measuring certain things, you're learning certain things about this person, how they handle money, their faith, just certain disciplines and those types of things to see, who is this person and how are we going to interact together in a relationship, ultimately in a marriage. And so money obviously is important because you got to pay bills, and not just pay bills, because we don't want to look at money as just a means to pay bills, but this is something that should sustain us once we get at the point where we're past working. When you retire, how do we live then?
Right.
And those are not, the conversations I was talking about last week, those are not those conversations. It's just, I make more money than you do, so I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to date you because you don't make X amount of dollars without us really talking about what are we actually doing with all this money that we're making.
Exactly. So I want to kind of recap a little bit of what we were talking about last week. For those who had not caught last week's show, we were touching base on men who might not be making a ton of money and the mindset that kind of goes along with that. We were saying that, as long as a person is gainfully employed, and they are working and they're showing that they can, support themselves and they're not trying to live off of someone, that is someone who is, worth giving some time to. They may be flipping burgers at McDonald's, but they have a job and they have money that's coming in. And it's consistent income, and so you don't shoot someone in the foot and not give them a chance, just because it may be, a first-tier type of job, but that person may be working towards their goals, or they could be in school, or they could be, actively pursuing getting where it is that they ultimately want to be. But if they're, if they are handling their business, then certainly that is still someone that you'd want to give a chance to, and even though they may not be making all the big bucks yet. You know, everything starts with just a start, and so everyone needs a chance. So, okay, Derek, go ahead with what you were saying.
No, exactly. Because the other side of that is, too, the other thing to consider, you think about, is those guys that are making six figures, they haven't always made six figures. Those are the guys that made $20,000, $25,000, and they get to the point that they're making six figures. They remember what it was like when they were making $20,000, $30,000, and how difficult it may have been at that time. And their standards might be different at that point because it's like, okay, why are you interested in me now? Would you have been that person who would not have been interested in me when I wasn't making $100,000, but I was dreaming and I was working towards those goals? Those are things to consider. And, I mean, again, those things should not be the main thing should be not so much – how much he makes, but, you know, is he making, I'm not talking about, you know, guys making $15,000 or whatever. I mean, you know, maybe he's in college or something like that, but if you're making a decent, or I shouldn't even say decent, it's just, some of the conversations I've heard, it's not even how much he makes, it's just that he makes less than I do. And it's like, you know, really? He makes less than you do. Well, the real conversation is, you know, where's this guy's head at? What type of person is he? Because the amount of money you make doesn't necessarily say what type of person you are. It does not say anything about your values. And actually, it could. It could mean that you're the type of person who's so driven that you don't have time for anything else, that your money becomes, you know, your woman. And I've seen this happen where the woman ends up becoming the mistress to his ambition. And no woman wants that where – you know, and I've seen it, you know, where the woman is, she's, you know, begging for time.
Right.
And she's saying, you know, we make money, but she wants to feel more important, you know, than the other things he has going on. So, I mean, you know, those things do not necessarily talk about character and other more important things.
It is perfectly okay to have a goal and to, you know, to want better for yourself, you know, but if all you have, I saw a quote the other day and I was like, oh, this is so profound, just hits you right between the eyes. And the person said, you know, it is entirely possible to be a successful failure. You know, and I'm like, absolutely. You know, you can really get wherever it is that you want to go, but lose all the stuff that's really important. And so have you really gained anything?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you are, you know, that driven person, and, you know, I have even known people who, you know, may even have connected with the person that they love, you know, and they're like, but I got fit, I need 10 years or whatever it is. And so they're not willing to give it any time, but it's like, okay, you know, so basically in essence, you are putting off what really matters for what doesn't matter as much. And then it reminds me of scripture that says, you know, two have a better chance of doing so. I'm paraphrasing, you know, but they have a better reward than one. So, you know, you're putting off relationship for pursuits of grandeur and and money and whatever else. So, you know, your priorities are kind of off, you know. In the end, yeah, you've got your awards, and you've got this, and you've got your money, but, you know, who's there with you? So, you know, and everything there needs to be. And I just don't feel like, you know, and maybe it's just me. I'm, you know, I am coming at this from a woman's standpoint, so no, don't put me off for some money. Just put that out there, you know. But I just don't see anything being that much more important than, like, relationship. You know, we can handle your goals. We can do that together, you know.
Right.
But don't just do nothing. You know, don't put her off or don't put me off for a ticket, you know,
a ticket that could possibly lead somewhere when we could just literally just pull this thing together and just do this together. You know, and I guess I just see it a little far too often. And I've been, my life personally has been affected. Like, that I don't appreciate it either.
Right, right. So, I've seen it as well.
But, pardon me?
I've seen that as well. No, I said I've seen that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, so since we're, you know, we're all going to just lay it out there, you know, there has to be balance in things. And so, you know, we've heard the cliches and stuff like, you know, behind every good woman is behind every, you know, great man is a great woman and, you know, that kind of thing. And that really is true. You know, we have different roles, and I know we kind of talked about roles and purposes a little bit last week, you know, but like part mm-hmm. of the role of a woman is as a life builder. And so she doesn't just bring life into the world, you know, she speaks life and she cultivates an environment where, if she's doing her job, you know, where he is able to do more and be more because she's handling the part that she needs to handle. So
mm-hmm.
literally it is the two of them together working to accomplish, you know, a certain thing. And sometimes we oust out our support just trying to do it by ourselves when you really are
right.
not designed to be an island. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. Go ahead.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're 100% right. It's about roles, and as we kind of alluded to, priorities. And you made me think about something when you were talking about putting things off. I went to the Weekend to Remember marriage retreat earlier this year, and we had like a breakout session, and it was just for guys who were not married yet. But, it was like maybe 6-7 of us. I was the only one there. I wasn't even in a relationship at the time. And the question the speaker asked was, why have you guys not gotten married yet? Why have you not gone to the next level? And I remember one guy, he had been with his girlfriend like a few years, I think, and he said he was in college. And she wanted to get married. And he was trying to put it off for another few years. And I just thought about that when you were talking about, just putting things off. And I don't know, from any time a man approaches a woman for a relationship, at that point she should be a priority. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're approaching her for a relationship, that relationship should be going somewhere. The goal should be marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It should be marriage. And if he's not ready to get married, if he's not looking to get married, he's looking to get married later, then he
mm-hmm.
should approach a woman later and
exactly.
pursue what it is you're trying to do. If you're trying to finish school, then you should be focusing on school. But
mm-hmm.
it becomes, you know, kind of a selfish venture because you want
right.
the things that you can get from her, and you want the relationship where you're comfortable with it. And she's
mm-hmm.
saying, in this case, I don't care that you're not making a whole lot of money.
Exactly.
I'm fine with that. I see what you're doing. You're in college. You're headed in the right direction. I'm fine with that. Let's get married.
So my grandfather used to say that if a man doesn't marry a woman within a year, he isn't serious. He's just playing. He's not serious about it. What do you think about that?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
I do. Because I say that I'm not going to be in, if I'm in a relationship a year,
mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend's listening, tomorrow will be 5 months for us. If I'm in a relationship, and I told her this going into the relationship, and I said this before I met her, if I'm in a relationship, I don't need more than a year to know whether or not I want to get married. I don't. And people that are in relationships for multiple years, the reason that they're able to stay in relationships for multiple years because there's no urgency to get married. Paul
mm-hmm.
said it's better, and I mentioned this last week, Paul said it's better to marry than to burn in your flesh,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to have those desires. Well, people that are in relationships for multiple years, they're not burning because they've already satisfied that.
That's true.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine being in a relationship for years because I'm not that strong. And I'm
mm-hmm.
pretty strong. But the other side of it is, why would I put it off? If I'm with her in a relationship for a year, 2 years, then we've already demonstrated that we're able to stay together because we've been together for 2 years. What else are we trying to figure out? And
exactly.
I think a lot of times what happens is people get in relationships and they handle they avoid the things that they should talk about. We don't want to talk about anything that might be controversial, that might, you know, ruffle each other's feathers, that may cause us to have to debate or any of that stuff. So we just deal with all of the fun stuff. You know, we have the romance, all of the fun and all of those types of things. And then those who eventually do get married have no choice but to face those things that they're unprepared for because they never dealt with them before.
So we're talking about this from the standpoint of marriage, but let's talk about dating for just a second, because, you know, like I have heard and seen people, you know, doing months and months of dating. They're not even saying that they're really in a relationship. They're just, you know, they're kicking it. They're dating. And I say that's hogwash too, because, you know, within like 2 days, you know if a person is, you know, for you or not. If it's somebody that you can actually spend time with, you know, and it doesn't take more than three, I don't think. You know, and so this whole, you know, multiple month thing, you know, trying people on, not really feeling that. You know, that's just.
Now you said three months, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you're dating, you know right away if somebody, if you can continue dating that person or not. Usually, you know, it's even the first night. You know, three dates max. You know, this is somebody that you want to be spending multiple time with. You know, for a long
okay.
period of time,
mm-hmm.
you want to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, I have seen people and know people who have just, you know, oh, we're just kicking it, and we're kicking it. So there's no, not even the title of, you know, this is my girlfriend or, you know, this is my boyfriend or whatever. We're just kicking it, you know, or you have the whole, you know, so-called friends with benefits and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know that it's someone who you don't really even intend to have that level of commitment and stuff. So I do have a little philosophy about that. I'm going to go ahead and just put that here now. You know, that the person that you're playing with and trying on that you don't want, someone else does want that person. So they're sharing stuff with you that
mm-hmm.
really belongs to someone else, or in essence you're stealing. You know, you're stealing what doesn't belong to you. It belongs
mm-hmm.
to someone else. So I said it. Okay, now I can get off of it, but I just had to put that out there, you know.
No, I agree. Actually, my post.
We don't always think about how the things we do affect other people long term. And
right.
And you don't need that level of intimacy with somebody that you don't have that kind of relationship and stuff with. You just don't
right.
need it. So, okay, go ahead. You had something to say.
Yeah, it's funny, my post was kind of along those lines because I was kind of talking about that, what you mentioned, that whole thing of let's just see where this goes.
Right.
What does that mean? You should already know where you want a relationship to go. You know, the end should already be figured out. I know I want to
mm-hmm.
get married, and I have to date in order to find out who a person is, to find out if this is somebody that I would want to marry. So you've already decided that. The only thing you're trying to figure out during dating is if this is
mm-hmm.
the person that you want to spend, you know, your time with, you want to get to know, you would consider marrying, and you determine that by spending time with them, but not by just kicking it.
Exactly. Let me read something that you posted a few days ago, and many retailers place a special warning notice on their high-end merchandise. Every father should place the same sign on his daughter's heart. Every young man should read that father's sign placed on his daughter's heart in bold letters, handle with care. If you break it, you will pay for it. Every daughter should experience this love from a father long before any other man ever has the opportunity for a substantial position of influence in her life. A father is to lay a foundation for his daughter's security well before she goes out into the world. Unfortunately, the job goes undone too often in today's society. The absence or negligence of many fathers has left daughters unprotected and sons unprepared for the roles that manhood requires, having no one to teach them. Our relationships are suffering en masse as a result. Having improper foundations, many enter relationships that are bound to sink before they're ever set to sail. Playtime is over. We have work to do for the health of our relationships and for the future of those little ones that will come after us. So I'm going to, I'll talk about myself here for just a second, because how I ended up on this journey of abundant living, I just couldn't get certain portions of my life to work. And it didn't seem like it didn't matter what was going on. The result ended up being the same. Relationships down the tubes, attracting the same kinds of people over and over again. And I finally, and I'm pretty self, reflective and stuff like that, introspective and all that, so mm-hmm. at one point I stepped back and I'm like, okay, the common denominator in all of this would be you. So mm-hmm. let's find mm-hmm. out what's going on inside of you that you keep retracting this same type of situation. So my father, teenage parents and all that, and they did actually get married for a while, but they probably shouldn't even have wasted their time. He was womanizing and drugging and, mm-hmm. abusing and all this kind of stuff. And so she had her own set of issues, and he was not a father. He just did not want a kid. And so he was, and really didn't want responsibility of being a husband either, but so he didn't want any responsibility. let's just say that, And so, through his rejection and, verbal abuse and all the stuff that I had gone through, I just kept attracting him over and over again. They just had different faces and different names, and I had to step back and realize that, okay, obviously something in me is broken, because, I am not sowing those types of seeds, and yet I still keep attracting the same man to myself over and over again. And so, going to prayer, do the therapy thing, just the whole journey of, mm-hmm. read some books, pull out the law of attraction, all of it. And so I am still in the midst of my journey, certainly not where I was, not where I want to be, and I know that because I'm still not married. And, and I would like to be, but I'm willing to do the work, and so mm-hmm. I would say, to you, what would you say to the lady who's grown up with no father or positive male role models? So she has no real healthy sense of herself and doesn't really know her worth. And so she's repeating these same types of patterns that she learned from her absentee father, his rejection, the criticism, the judgment, the abuse, the abandonment, all that. And she keeps attracting that guy into her life. What do you say to her?
Well, I kind of say it a little differently, because I see it a little differently. I don't think it's so much who a woman attracts, because you have no control over who's attracted to you. I mean, you have very limited control over that. The common denominator is who you choose out of who mm-hmm. approaches you. Because I've approached women that were approached by men that were far different than me. So it wasn't that mm-hmm. they were just approaching one type of guy, but they consist. I mean, if you see consistency, usually the consistency is not you, it's who you choose out of who approaches you. And you find that you're making consistently the same choice, whereas, like you said earlier, it's the same guy. He just has a different name and he looks different. But he's, mm-hmm. Behaviorally and all of that, he's the same person. And for those of us that are believers, we have to understand how God intended relationships to be. And, as we kind of touched on last week, the standard for the woman, the model for the woman, was that whole chapter, Proverbs 31. For the man, it was Christ. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, we don't see, I hate to say most of the time, a lot of the time, we don't see that modeled in men. And as I mentioned, what you just read, we don't see it in the young ladies, because we're missing that one thing. A lot of times it's that father that's missing to teach that son how to be a man, how to love and care for a woman, and then for the girl to see that image of that father and not. And I think we go wrong here too, where a lot of times the girls who were daddy's girl, they expect their boyfriend or the man in their life, mm-hmm. that they will marry, to treat them like their father treated them, which is the wrong relationship. The relationship they should be looking at is a relationship between the father and the mother. How did your father treat your mom? And that's where mm-hmm. the husband or the father is supposed to demonstrate to her how she should be treated. And for those that didn't get that, you know, like I mentioned, my father was home, but my father didn't know. I had to learn from what I see in Scripture, how a man is supposed to be. And, you know, you find, I always liked when I would talk to a young lady and she had older, wiser women in her life that she was close to that could teach her how to be a lady. Or, and the same thing with men. I have older buddies that I call and I talk to. I have a buddy, Carlos Johnson, who's there in Detroit. Well, actually, he just moved. I have another pastor friend of mine, Frank Collins. These are older men who are older than I am, more experienced than me, that I call. And sometimes I'm a little nervous calling them because I don't know what they're going to tell me, but I know whatever wisdom they give me, I should probably pay attention to. So that's what I would tell a young lady. What does the Scripture say? Cut that TV off. Because that's what ruins a lot of our relationships, is that we're more influenced by the culture, we're more influenced by Hollywood, and our understanding, if we sat down and compared our understanding about love and about relationships to what Scripture says, it's more reflective of what the culture and what Hollywood says. Because most of us don't really know what the Scripture said about marriage. We don't know what it said about love. We don't know what it said about relationship. None of that. We know what we've been influenced by, you know, outside of, you know, the body of Christ, which influenced us more. So our television, the magazines we read, the music we listen to, and those things.
Right. Let me then just recap. Okay, so I hear you saying that you would tell a young man who has grown up, who did not have, you know, positive role model, basically go find yourself one. You know, find someone whose life looks different than yours and study them and emulate what they're doing and talk to them and get some feedback and some level of accountability. And then you would say the same thing to a young lady, you know. And I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I read a lot. I'm fortunate on my job. I kind of do data entry. So I sit and listen to lectures on my phone about relationships or about, you know, whatever interests me. I listen to, I listen to lectures. It's one of my favorites called The Psychology of Love. I sit and listen to stuff like that, which I guess I should if this is stuff that I'm writing about and things like that. But it's things that we live in an age that's a lot different than, you know, my father's time where I can Google something that I want to know.
Right.
You know, if I want to know the rites of passage for a man, which we're definitely missing in our community. I mean, the rites of passage for a young black man is to have sex with the first girl.
Right.
That's when he thinks he's become a man. And unfortunately, the older men endorse that.
Exactly.
You know, they endorse that. One of my young buddies at work, I go to lunch every day with a couple of young guys who I'm old enough to be their father. They're both in their early 20s, but they're good friends of mine, and we sit down and we talk. And what one of them calls our round table. And one of them, I'm older than his parents, and we sit down and we talk. We talk about life. We talk about love. We talk about relationships. And you know, they kind of look to me kind of like the older, kind of like, I guess, like an older brother, probably more so than a father figure, because I don't look that old. but you know, we have those talks, and I talk to them because I tell them I'm older. I'm 20-something years older than they are. So I should be able to have something to tell them that should be of benefit to them. And I think, you know, we should hold those who are in position. I'm not really in no huge position, but I look at even my Facebook page. I'm speaking, people come and listen, and I have to be accountable for what I say. And I try to be accountable for what I say to these young guys. And I want, you know, I should be able to, I'm 47 years old. I've been on the planet almost twice the amount of time a couple of those guys have. And I should have something for my 20 years that I've been on this planet to be able to tell them that it's nothing more than, you know what, if you like the girl, marry her. And actually one of them, since the time we've been friends, he's gotten engaged to a girl that he's been in a relationship with her for some years. And he's like, man, yeah. I never really thought about getting married. I couldn't think of a reason why I should. He's engaged.
So for a person who says that to you, that they could not even, they're not even thinking about it, you know, what reason would you tell them, you know, this is why you need to think about it? What would you say to him?
Well, I mean, if you love her, you're with this woman, if you love her, and obviously she loves you, she's not with you for money. She's been with you, you know, through high school, college, and after college. So she was with you before you had a job. And she was there. She's still with you. So obviously she loves you. She follows your lead. She goes to church with you. And you're taking her time, as you said earlier. If you don't love her, then let her go so somebody else can come and love her. And he did, but you know what he told me? He said, I was pulling from the knowledge that I had available to me at that time.
Okay.
That's what I knew. Nobody around me got married, and you know, we talk about it now. It's like, he's like, man, a year ago we talked. He said, you talking to me? He said, I thought you was crazy, but I was talking to him about things that he had not, you know, he had not engaged in conversations before. Now we sit around and we have wonderful conversations. We learn from one another. We're iron as sharpened one another. He's not just accountable to me, not because I'm older. I'm accountable to him as well.
Absolutely.
And that's how men are supposed to be. If I see him and he's not doing something he should be doing, he's going to hear it from me. And if I'm, if the same thing for me, if I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, I'm going to hear it from him. And that's how it should be. We're not, you know, we're not the men who's going to encourage each other. I would never encourage him to cheat on his girlfriend. He wouldn't encourage me to do it. If I saw him doing it, I'm going to call him on it. If he saw me doing it, he would call me on that. And that's what men need to be doing. We need to be examples. We need to be leaders. We need to lead. And when you lead, and we were talking about that today at lunch, women don't have a problem following a man who's demonstrated his ability to lead.
That's right.
Because who wants that headache? I mean,
so,
you all have other stuff
that
you need to do that we can't do.
Right. Exactly. I know we kind of touched about that a little bit last week, and I was saying that, you know, something had been presented, and so it was kind of a little debate, if you will, you know, and it started off with a quote from Anais Nin, you know, talking about, you know, her and how she, you know, she can be this, you know, powerful person in all these different places, but then when it comes to, you know, being, you know, home with her man, she wants to be able to just, you know, submit into that. And I feel like most women really feel like they have no problem, you know, submitting to a man and his role and is willing to be responsible for that, you know, but, you know, you can't have that level of submission for someone who still wants to, you know, to play and who doesn't take the full package. It comes with responsibility. You know, it's not just, you know, something that's just an ego booster. You know, it comes with responsibility. So if you want it, you have to be willing to do some stuff in order to be a person who's worthy of having it. And, that's just kind of my take on that. So let me ask you, you know, we're hearing all this stuff like, you know, Steve Harvey and, you know, acting like a man and thinking like a woman and, you know, all that stuff. So what's your philosophy then? Or do you agree with his philosophy? What do you think about, you know, the stuff that he is telling women, you know, about
your
dealing?
No, I don't agree for a few reasons. For one, I think that the premise is completely wrong. To say act like a lady, think like a man, I have a couple issues with that. Probably the main one is a woman cannot think like a man. She's not a man. It's not necessary for a woman to think like a man. It's necessary for a woman to understand her man. The other problem with that is that let's assume that a woman could think like a man. What benefit would it do you or any other woman to be able to think like a man unless all men thought alike?
Okay. That's valid.
Think about that. And obviously we don't all think alike because I'm disagreeing with Steve Harvey, who's another man.
Right.
So to tell a woman to think like a man, it plays into that ideology that men all think alike and we don't. The other thing is it puts an unnecessary onus on the woman. Why is the onus put on the woman to think like a man rather than the man dwelling with his wife according to knowledge like the scripture said? It didn't tell her to think like him. It told him to live with her in an understanding way. You study and know your wife. That's what the scripture said. It didn't tell her to think like him. The other problem I had was when you read, like, I think it was the kind of like the introduction of the book, he referred to it as a playbook. I'm not really big into sports at all, but I know what a playbook is. A playbook is what it has a team's their own personal plays, and it's valuable to your opponent if they can get a hold of your playbook so they can see how, you know, so they can build or gain an advantage against you. So to refer to your book as a playbook pits men and women against each other's opponents. And he said somewhere something to the effect of, we don't want you to know the truth. You know, I'm letting you in on a secret. Don't really want to let you know lest you gain an advantage and win. And I'm looking at this, and it's like that's the very thing that I'm vehemently against, because I think most of the time when you hear relationships presented on air, on television, between men and women, it always pits us against each other. So you hear the woman's side, you hear the man's side, and it's good for ratings because, you know, the men call in and they take the side with the men, the women call in and take sides with the women, but how does that help anybody? Because we're not having any real open dialogue about our issues and trying to understand each other. Let me understand how you think and you understand how I think so that we better relate to one another so our relationships are healthy. You understand what I'm saying? But to tell a woman to think like a man, it puts the onus on a woman. It's like she's pursuing the man. Why is it her responsibility to think like you? I mean, she doesn't anyway, but I mean, assuming that she could, why is the onus on the woman? I thought the book was very chauvinistic, and there were a lot of generalities that weren't true. You know, the women were told, your man ain't going to go with you to the mall. I go to the mall. Me and my girlfriend just went out shopping last week, and I asked her, I said, have you ever been shopping with a guy before? She was like, no, and she appreciated it. I talked to my best friend. He's like, man, I go shopping with my wife.
Okay.
It was, you know, just a lot of generalities that were not true, at least not true for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what do you think about the 90-day rule? Let's talk about that.
Well, the 90-day rule was interesting to me for a couple of reasons. Obviously, I don't agree with it. I think abstinence to marriage should be the rule, not 90 days. But what I found really interesting when I saw the film was where the 90-day rule came from when he worked at Ford, and Ford made him wait 90 days to get benefits, and Ford was considered a good job. So you got good benefits in 90 days. So you figure you compare a woman's value to your job, which I thought was kind of insane. The other side of it was I had a good job. When the first bank that I worked at, and I had a pretty good job, case for having sex with a woman the same day you meet her, because I got benefits the first day I started work.
Okay.
I got full benefits the first day I started. So, I mean, I think it's condescending. it's insulting, and here's the other side. I mean, consider this. Here it is, a man is telling a woman how many days you're worth waiting for.
Right.
And he decides 90, that you're only worth waiting for 90 days.
So here's,
and then what?
Here's something.
I mean, there's no discussion about marriage.
Just, I remember saying something like, you know, the average person is only like waiting like, you know, 3 or 4 dates before they're having sex with each other. You know, so in Steve's mind, he was probably, you know, thinking that he was doing a great thing by boosting it up to 90 days. But it's still, you're encouraging people to just basically be out there just randomly having sex with people. Okay, so then after the 90 days, then what? You know, you just move on to the next partner, you know. So, yeah, I
got in trouble. I challenged that. I posted something about that last year, and a couple ladies were a little teased at me,
mm-hmm.
which is baffling for a man to say that you're worth me sacrificing, or you're worth a man denying his own natural tendency,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know what, you're worth more than that.
Right.
Let me marry you first, because I don't plan on being in a relationship for no years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not too much more than 90 days. But
mm-hmm.
to tell a woman that she's only worth, and then again, we talked about a 90-day rule, but there was no rule for how long you're going to be together before you get married.
Hmm.
What rule is that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it, and I think he said that in the book too, if you don't do it, somebody else will. And I think that's something terrible to tell a woman. It's true, but if that's what a man's interest is, then let him do it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, so then it almost seems like the fear of not having someone, or you know, the fear of him leaving prompts a lot of women to function outside of where they're really comfortable doing, you know. Then the flip side of that is, you know, just like the young man who says, you know, well, no, that wasn't really on my mind to do because nobody around me was doing that, you know, relating to marriage, you know, for the young woman, you know, if everyone around her is just shacking up, you know, having
mm-hmm.
babies out of wedlock, you know, and all this
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff, then that's her norm. And so, you know, part of what I do is kind of get in there and deal with issues of, like, you know, self-esteem and self-worth and all that kind of stuff for women,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because I have been on the opposite end of that and has really needed to, you know, have some stuff poured into me. And so, you know, I take my experience and pour it into other people, you know, and
right.
and so it's really, and I can think back on some of the really strange mental places I have been. I mean, really, you know, I mean, just when I think back on it, like, you know, really? I mean, you really thought that, and that was okay with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, like, if I was thinking crazy stuff, you know, yeah, there's a whole bunch of us out there who are still thinking crazy stuff because there's been no one to challenge it or to
right,
lovingly
right.
bring them back to, you know, a place of self-esteem and self-respect that says, you know, you're worth more than that. And when you change, then the people around you are going to change how they deal with you, too. You know, if you stop putting
mm-hmm.
up with nonsense will stop coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that really takes having that moment where you step back and have to really just see yourself and see where you really are and make a determination about where you really want to be. And then start doing the work. And the process of doing the work is frustrating because you're not going to be where you want to be in the time that you want to be there. Then you didn't get where you are overnight either. So
right.
it's day by day and it's step by step. And, you know, and I think sometimes we go wrong in expecting the end to be at a certain time. But if we could just look at them and give ourselves credit for each little victory versus, like,
right,
looking at the
right.
whole picture all the time, you know, then, okay, you know, nope, I didn't give this guy my phone number when he approached, and I really wasn't feeling him, but I didn't, you know, where normally I would have just, anybody who asked, yes. You know, those are little victories, and we need to kind of give ourselves
pats on the back for some of those victories. And, okay. So you are doing a panel of some kind tomorrow. Is that correct?
December 6th.
Oh, it's December. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
so,
December the 6th.
Okay. Well, tell us about it anyway, because I was going to... Is it open to the public?
Yes, definitely. It's going to be an all-male panel at TSU at the Wesley Foundation.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. Derek is in Nashville. Okay. Yeah, so for those of you who are in the Nashville area, okay, so, all right, now go ahead.
Yep. At TSU, Tennessee State University, at the Wesley Foundation, Friday, December the 6th from 7 to 10. And the reason I decided to do – well, the reason I decided to do it is because people have been asking me about doing something. And some conference – we have great dialogue on Facebook, but it's not the same as being able to have like dialogue that we're having now, but even being able to have live dialogue. This will be – I decided to do an all-male panel because typically men don't come out to stuff like that. And when I looked at – I put up the invite last night, and I noticed it was so far, it's like maybe 14 of us that said we're coming. The only guys that I saw that said they were coming were the guys that's on the panel. Everybody else is women. And I figured we do an all-male panel, it'll be men there. And what we'll do is allow the ladies to write anonymous questions, and then our host, Sherry Harper, she'll go through the questions, and then she'll hold the panel, and then women will be able to ask, you know, questions to whomever they may want to ask the question to, so we can have some real open, honest dialogue. Because my thought is this: there's always discussion about relationships, but it's usually the ladies are having discussions among themselves, the men are having discussions among themselves, and a lot of things that we're thinking about the other group, we're way off on. And we have no idea because we're not having any real open and honest dialogue. And when we do have conversation, we both kind of have our guards up because nobody wants to be hurt. And I think a lot of times women don't realize men have been hurt too. We don't want to be hurt any more than they do. So it's like we're putting up front, the ladies are putting up barriers, and we can't really have any real open, honest dialogue. So I wanted to have the panel so we can talk. It's free. You know, it's no charge. It's a free event because I just want people to come out and I want us to start having some dialogue.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. So there's going to be 14 men on the panel, huh?
No, it's going to be, I think it's five of us.
Oh, five, okay.
No, I said it was 14 people so far that said it was coming. And out of that, it was only like a couple of guys. That's why I said I wanted to have all male panel to make sure that men would be there so women had men there that they could direct their questions to.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, this is more than just a movement on Facebook, you know, that you're doing and these posts and things. You know, so tell me a little bit more about, you know, what your goal is and, you know, where are you trying to take this message? You know, what are you trying to do with it?
You know what, I would like to, I mean, I've been invited to speak at some things. I would like to do some more panels. And what I have in mind to do, I'm thinking about next year doing like a singles retreat. I want to kind of do what happens. Like, that's why I went to the marriage. I went to the Weekend Remember, and that's why I went to the Love and Respect conference. Because there's really nothing out for singles. So I figured, well, let me go and see what they're doing. Weekend Remember has been around for like 30 years. With huge success saving marriages, you know, saving failed marriage, you know, failing marriages and failed marriages. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good conference. So I would like to do some, you know, do some things like that. And I have some things in mind that I want to do once we do this first panel discussion. I want to do some type of retreat maybe early next year somewhere, you know, somewhere close by. But you know, where we sit down and, you know, have some, you know, I got some ideas about some stuff, but mainly I want to have some interactions, some discussions so we can deal with, first we got to talk about our issues and identify what those issues are. I mean, and one thing I see a lot, and I think a lot of times women look at men as a group. Because, I mean, I notice when a woman asks a question on Facebook, it'll be, why do men cheat? It's not like, why do some men cheat? It'll be, why do men cheat? And it's like we're looked at like a group. And I used to get offended because I would be asked that question. And I'm like, why don't you ask men to cheat? Why they cheat? I don't cheat. I'm like, ask cheating men why they cheat. And I would really be offended because I'm thinking, no, the greater question is, why are you in a relationship with a man that cheats? You know, and then I said, you know what, they're asking me because I'm a guy and they can't figure it out. They figure maybe I know. But, I mean, it's stuff like that. I mean, we think certain things. You know, women tend to look at us as a group. And then when I say, well, I don't do it, it's like, well, you're different. So it's like I'm the one guy who's different from all the other guys that are bad. And that's not the case.
Okay. So are you it sounds like you do some kind of informal mentoring, you know, that each one reach one thing. I kind of live my life like that, love it. Do you do formal mentoring with, you know, young men, teenagers, teenage boys, whatever?
No, I have not. I mean, I mean, the closest I've come to that is I worked with one of my buddies at our church back home. He was over the youth group, and I was kind of like one of the assistants, but no, I haven't. I mean, I don't know if I would fit that mold.
Okay.
I'm kind of unorthodox.
But then so are these young people. You know,
yes, but, you know, it's I'm not the clean-cut guy. I got the long locks and earrings in my ears. I don't fit. I don't know if I fit some of what they may want people to look like.
So here, okay, so you just have an interesting story. It's sort of related and not. Okay, so I am, you know, I'm me. I grew up in the hood, but you would really not really know that, you know. And, you know, you don't know me, so I'm very girly and have super, super, super feminine attributes. And I'm girly off the scale. Okay, so I worked for human service organization. At the time, I was like a house manager, you know, and so they had, you know, like three youth that would, you know, they were teenagers, and so, you know, they foster care, stuff like that, and they were hard to place, and so they would live in these not quite group home type situations, you know, so, and you had one staff person who worked on shift at a time. You lived there with the kids, and so they assigned me to a house with three teenage males, you know, one time, so my first day, you know, at this house, I had to take them grocery shopping, you know. And so the one looks at me, couldn't stand me right off the back. Gave me the flux and just like, okay, you know. And he's thinking, you know, what do you know? You don't talk like us. You don't listen to the music we listen to.
Right.
You are so just not. Anything that there could be, I just wasn't, okay. And yet, you know, we would eventually, you know, it didn't take long because I like kids, you know, so eventually they learned, you know, people who are genuine, you know, can reach them. And so we would just sit down and we would just have these powwows. You know, so like I'm bringing that up to say, you know, I was the least likely, okay? And if I could make an impact, why certainly you can too. You with your long locks.
I have, but I'm just saying, not in any of the, you know, organizations. I've gone.
Right. But there was a thought behind the thought. So here's what I was ultimately thinking when you were talking about doing some of those retreats. You know, it sounded like a good idea to do some of them that were kind of co-ed, but then it would be nice to do some that were just males, you know, males mentoring, you know, to other, reaching that population that has grown up without the dads or, you know, doing some of those retreats with some young people.
I don't have a male audience.
You don't have a male audience?
I don't have a male audience. I don't. I mean, if I do, I don't know because they're silent. That respond
but you
to
do
me,
have
that interact with me are women.
Right, but you were saying that you have, you know, like you have a few people that you were talking about, like on your job, who us, you know, who hear you, you know, because if it's real and it's honest and you prove yourself to be a person who's trustworthy, you know, that kind of ends up being the door that opens up, that allows folks to come in. So, you know, maybe your audience comes through the few people that you've already reached. You talk to them, hey, this is what I want to do. And they'll start talking, and then they'll invite their buddies. You know, it's just a thought. No, it's just a thought. So, you know, don't veto it. Just, you know, think about it. But mm-hmm. You definitely have a message for young men, you know, who are not getting it. They're not getting it at home, you know, and yet, you know, and you know how to speak their language. You are a man, so you know how to reach them. They're not going to take this message from a female. Like, whatever, there's nothing that you have to say that I'm really interested in like that. Not where you're talking about change your life kind of stuff. You know, there are some things that a man needs to reach a man with, you know, which is actually kind of interesting because the right man speaking a message about, you know, healing and getting yourself together and self-esteem and all that kind of stuff could strike a chord in a woman and make her see some things differently. But I haven't seen so much of that in reverse, but maybe that's because the man is designed to be the head. Maybe that's what that's all about.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to gauge because, I mean, as I think about it, when I'm out, you know, sometimes I'll see guys and go, like, man, I read your post. I'm like, really? But, I mean, you have no way of knowing unless somebody comments.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but actually, you know what, with the retreat, it would actually be men and women. It wouldn't be just women. It would be men and women because I've already considered how I would have to try to do that, but yeah, it would be mm-hmm. men and women because I would want the dialogue, you know, just like we're going to have at this panel between the two.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. It just seemed like an offshoot of the first thing that you were going to do. But we can talk about that off air. I can send you an email with the rest of my thoughts on that. Okay, so tell our listeners how they can follow you.
You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/DKNOWS2. And,
so
yeah, that's the best place to find me on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter at Derek Quince. That's D-E-R-E-K. Quince.
So again, that was, you can follow Derek Sanders. He is www.facebook.com/DKNOWS2. And then at Twitter, it was Derek Quince, DereqUince.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. Derek Quince on Twitter, okay? And so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We've actually kind of gone a little bit over, but that's okay. Okay. So just to recap what we were kind of going over last week at the end of the show, I am the happy recipient of a Spoken Word Billboard Award. My novel did actually win the award in the category of Best Perfect Bound Collection. Very excited about that. It was in D.C. this past weekend. And you
congratulations.
Can, check out all – oh, thank you. Thank you. You can check out all the – spoken word billboard award stuff, you know, all over Facebook and, you know, Twitter and all that. You can kind of Google it, and, you know, they're blowing up and doing some different things. And I mentioned that I have recently started a book club, and it's called Say What. And so we are not just a book club that meets, but we are almost like a community. And so you are more than welcome to join the group, and we're also on Facebook. That is www.facebook.com/groups/Say What Book Club. And this is really near and dear to my heart because I get a chance to, of course, read, but get a chance to feature the works of emerging authors as well. So that's very, very exciting. If you are looking for information about that, you know, just shoot me an email or and you can contact me there at Say What DC, so that's Say What, D as in Boy, C as in Charlie, at yahoo.com, you know, if you are interested in submitting works to possibly be considered for a feature, and you can do that there. and I will be having more information on this, but I have been invited to be the MC for the Healing to Love Relationship Cruise that is going to Cozumel in June of 2014, and it's going to be a really interesting and powerful event. Well, I'll be posting more information and stuff about that. If you are not following me but you wish to do so, you can find me on Twitter. I am at Tamika Patrice. That's T-U-M-I-K-A Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E. And on Facebook, it's Tamika Patrice Kane. So T-U-M-I-K-A Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E Kane, C-A-I-N. And that is my where you can find me on Facebook. And information about the book, you can go directly to my website, www.tamikapatrice.com. And so let's just remember that we are all in this together. You know, so be sure to encourage someone. You never know, your words may be the very thing that keeps the person, someone who is ready to give up. And as always, remember to make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.